Pastor Chris Gordon opens up today's edition of Abounding Grace Radio with this bit of wisdom and truth.
We never get away with anything in life. Do you realize that? We all are doing certain things and we're all making choices about life. I can assure you, you're never getting away with it, ever. It always comes back to haunt.
It sure does, doesn't it? So why do we continue, right? That is the lesson we learned today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there, and welcome to our program. Our time today returns us to Genesis chapters 29 and 30. You know, if ever there was a life that reflects our lives today, it'd be Jacob. And if ever there was a life that would require and need great grace, it would be Jacob and us as well. And therein lies the encouragement. Here's Pastor Chris.
She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die. Create in me, Jacob, a child or I shall die." And you say, "Do what?" Jacob responds, "Am I in the place of God?" Strange twist to this is that she did die in childbearing with Benjamin, by the way. If you don't give me children, I will die. Ah, the polygamous life. In no situation where you ever have polygamy described in the scriptures is it anything that ever worked out well. In fact, any design that is outside of God's design never works out well. It makes sense. It's completely against the design of Genesis chapter 1. And Jacob is learning here already an important lesson. He's trying now to keep two wives happy. On the one hand, he has an unsatisfied wife who wants his love, whom he does not love. And on the other hand now, he has a jealous, envious younger wife and younger sister to his older wife who's demanding children and now warring with the sister. You'll notice that. Envy has filled her. Bitterness has filled her. It is eating her up. And when anger eats people up like this, it goes somewhere. Before us now, she reinstitutes an old custom. We should know this custom. Remember it? Then she said, verse 3, "Here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf and that even I may have children through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Everyone should know this custom by now because it was the very thing that Sarah and Abraham tried. It was Abraham's greatest failure of his life. It was the custom that established by the matriarch, remember Sarah, "We'll go outside ourselves and we'll produce this ourselves and go into my servant Hagar." Same language. "Perhaps we will have children by her." The whole thing is being repeated. And you stand back and you think, well, you think Jacob would by now have said, no, listen, grandfather tried that and suffered terribly for this whole mess. That's the do-it-yourself method. He had a son he had to send away. We don't want to do that. Well, Jacob's on board, of course, and he goes in to Bilhah and has two children by Bilhah. The first is Dan, and Dan means literally judge. Dan will be the tribe of judgment, and then comes Naphtali. And I want you to notice what happens here. Did you notice verse 4? So she gave him her servant, Bilhah, as a wife. That's three now. He now has three wives. This is not a fling. This is another wife. And notice what Rachel's doing. She takes Dan and she holds up Dan and she says, "Look, Leah, God has judged my case. See?" God had nothing to do with that plan. In other words, God didn't ordain that. God didn't sanction that. And she drags God's name through the mud and says, "See, it was their plan." And then as soon as she has Naphtali, meaning wrestled, she says, "I have out-wrestled my sister." What do you think Jacob stopped on that one? Jacob had out-wrestled his brother. They fought in the womb. And the whole course of Jacob's life now is being played out by two sisters at war in his own home. "I won," says Rachel, the younger. I won. We've got a lot of babies being born here right now. If you fathers think you're up at night, you can take comfort in thinking about Jacob. It's almost is comical in the worst kind of way, isn't it? Jacob's reaping what he sowed. From the very time Jacob was in the womb with Esau, he wrestled, he clenched, he wrestled away through scheming the birthright and stealing from his brother, and in his own house, the two wives, there is bitter wrestling and scheming, and there he is at the center of it all. The whole thing replayed. We never get away with anything in life. Do you realize that? We all are doing certain things, and we're all making choices about life. I can assure you, you're never getting away with it, ever. It always comes back to haunt. Decisions. And that's why we plead with young people in the decisions that they make. Birth wars have overtaken Jacob's tent. Well, back to Leah. Leah says, well, two can play that game. I can play that game. In verse 9, when Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, good fortune has come. So she called his name Gad. She bore him a second son. Happy am I, for women shall have called me happy, Rachel. And she called his name Asher. Good fortune. Rachel, look at my good fortune. Look at how happy I am. I'm the happy one. Have you ever read the proverb that it's better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife? Can you imagine two? I mean, that at least gets you out to the desert. Can you imagine four? You want a ticket to the moon. Now, this is bad. This is a mess. It gets worse. What we have described in verse 14, the firstborn of Leah goes out into the field. And he finds these mandrakes, and he brings them to Leah. And Rachel finds out about these mandrakes. And Leah says, listen, you want these two? Rachel wants the mandrakes. You've already taken away my husband, says Leah. You want my son's mandrakes too? Rachel says, okay. You can lie with him tonight if you give me the mandrakes. What are mandrakes? Mandrakes were a small plant with a root, and you could pinch out orange-colored substance. It would pop out and you could eat it. Today, the Wiccans use it to hallucinate. They were known as love apples. You never thought your pastor would preach today on love apples. It was an aphrodisiac. It was a love potion thought to arouse desire and induce fertility. The Song of Solomon speaks of it. These love apples this way. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and besides our doors are all choice fruits. New as well as old, which I have laid up for you, O my beloved. I have laid up the love apples. Now what just happened? Now Jacob, a war has happened over Jacob's love with love apples. Jacob gets prostituted for the night. He gets bought. Verse 15, therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. She thinks, well, if I get the mandrakes, what's giving away my husband's love for one night? I can use the love apples and get pregnant as many times as I want. So Jacob comes into the field, from the field, and Leah goes out to meet him. You are mine tonight. I hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he goes into her that night, and Leah conceives and bears a fifth son, Issachar. Wages. It's his name. God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. You say, what? God just honored my sin. I did it fairly. I bought him. Then she bore Jacob, verse 19. Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I've borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. And then in verse 21, the first daughter comes into the scene, Dinah. We'll come back to her later, a few weeks. Now, to say this is a mess this morning is a bit of an understatement. I try to take you through this very strange chapter that everyone's standing back, and I could say, you know, look at how awful these people are. I mean, look at what they're doing, and here they are. And you ask the question when you come to passages like this, what is God teaching us? What is God showing us? And it's as if he puts a giant mirror up. Do you know who this is? Israel was just born. The holy nation of God was just born. This way. Now you think there's a message in that? This is how it all started for Israel. You kind of see how ugly it was when the Pharisees were running around acting so righteous. This is their beginnings. And is it familiar? Well, if I went through and I started asking the questions that this text would demand, how many women have given themselves before marriage to a man thinking they could hold him? How many women feel alone and unloved and neglected in our hands of men who are cruel? How many are shown no love whatsoever? How many homes are in absolute turmoil between the man and the wife? How much turmoil really fills the home? How many parents lament decisions the children have made? How many have seen children suffer in marriage because of the choices they made? All this thing's alive and well. This whole thing is alive and well. How much really of a mess have we made of our lives? And you see, if God were to enter into judgment and mark transgressions, no one would stand. If he threw the book, it'd be over. But look at how God represents himself in this passage. I've been driving all this to get to this point this morning, so I hope you're with me. It's this point. There are three things said of the Lord that jump off the page, the chapter. What's the first? Look at verse 31. When the Lord saw, this is back in chapter 29, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. Of all things that the Lord could have looked at in this mess, what's he looking at? An unloved wife. An unloved woman. The outcast of the whole mess. And this whole scene begins with an outcast who is not loved, and the Lord is looking at her. Leah was no innocent. But I do think it's dangerous to look at God when he deals with his own people as kind of a cosmic traffic cop who's marking and marking and marking and marking. Oh, sure, he's going to judge the wicked. But do you see how God looks at his people? Do you see what his eyes are on? God looks at her and he is moved with what? Compassion. When he sees that she is unloved, he opens her womb and gives her the greatest blessing. That was the greatest blessing in that culture. And little did she know how great that blessing would be. Look who comes from her. I can't get out of my mind the woman at the well. Here was a woman at the well who was being tossed around by man to man to man to man. She had 5 husbands. Who loved that woman? And she says, are you greater than our father Jacob? She was tied there. The Samaritans were the unloved people. And Jesus is looking at her, had an appointment to go meet her, and he fills her with living water. She's done. Did you notice the development in Leah? You have all these sons mentioned. Reuben, see a son, now my husband will love me. Simeon, the Lord has heard that I'm unloved. Levi, my husband will now be attached to me. And when you get to Judah, you get none of that. What do you get when you get to Judah? Now I will praise the Lord. Judah's the one. The Messiah comes from him. He's the answer. The spotlight is put there. I have learned in all my circumstances of hardship to praise the Lord, even if my earthly husband does not love me. I'm satisfied. Boy, what a principle for all conflict and struggle. That when you have the Lord's love, you have everything. You know, the Lord sees all of your afflictions. When the Lord saw, you know, he wants you to understand today, you can praise him in them. You know that he wants you to know he'll satisfy you in them. And he'll sanctify your deepest distress. That's not it. What's the second thing? In all of this fighting and catfighting and bickering and all this stuff that's going on in Jacob's house, what do you get in verse 17? So the Lord saw, and the Lord listened to Leah. Look at verse 22. And the Lord listened to who? Rachel. In their selfishness, in their fighting with one another, he hears their deep cry. He answers them. I read this passage the other night to my children. We were doing devotions, and I said to them, you know, God will be with you always when you blow it, and you will blow it in life. But you should learn something in this passage. I looked at them all, and I said, what you should learn is when you are hurting and you are in pain because of the bad choices that you have made, and you're worried and you're stressed, you should learn to call out to him because he always sees and he always hears. His ear is given to you. Do you understand that? Even when you don't feel like anything's going past the roof, his ear is given to you. And not just that. Here's what amazes me about the passage. There's no prayer from these women. He's listening to their groanings. This is Romans 8. That the groanings which cannot be uttered, he is listening to them. He's hearing them. He knows their real groans and their sighs, even though they're full of selfishness and sin. He still demonstrates in the midst of this mess that he is what? Kind and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. But that's not it. There's one other thing said about the Lord in this passage. It's in verse 22. The Lord remembered. Did you see that? In verse 22, then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her, and he opened her womb. Now, if you have been listening in the study of Genesis now, every time that has come up, you get big moments. Remember it? When the flood had risen up over the earth and had destroyed everything, what was the point at which the waters receded? When the text said, and God remembered Noah. Remember when Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed? Remember what it said about Abraham? And God remembered Abraham. And here we are in the midst of this kind of conflict. And the Lord now says that he remembered Rachel. And he's telling us something so powerful that though sin deserves great punishment, he always remembers his promises. That from the beginning, when he said he would build Israel, when he told Abraham a mighty nation would come, God would accomplish that. And here they are. The 12 sons have come. And for the first time in the passage, God opens the womb of Rachel. And he hears her cry. And what does he do? He gives her Joseph. The most Christ-like figure in the Old Testament. Who's going to teach us about the Messiah. Both women were satisfied at the end of their... Did you notice this? Both women were satisfied with sons. Sons that spoke of God's son. And the Lord wants us to understand this morning. What does it birth out of Leah? Praise. What does it bring out of Rachel? He's taken away all my reproach. Well, isn't that true of us? You have the Son today. And what does it birth out of us? It births praise. And what does it bring out of us? All of your reproach has been removed. That's what Jesus has done for us. And that should cause us today to trust him, to respond in love. And let me just say this as a point of strong application at the end. The Lord cares that husbands love their wives a lot. The Lord cares a lot about unloved wives. And you see, it was his church, his bride, who was neglected. And the Lord Jesus Christ stooped all the way down. And he came down here to rescue a wife that was rebellious, cantankerous. And he made her beautiful. And he works ever to sanctify her. And he's always with her. He'll never leave her nor forsake her. And he wants our love for our wives to demonstrate that. In Christ, we find all of our delight. And so I pray today that this kind of praise bursts out of our lips as we understand he's taken away our reproach and loved us this kind of way. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow the head today and are grateful that you over and over and over instruct us of your faithfulness and your love. In the midst of these kinds of messes, if this kind of mess could be put on display before us and you work and accomplish your perfect will we and hear us in our deepest distresses, the groans of our hearts, and see and know and listen and remember. Lord, it's to you that all of our affection and praise belongs. We bless your name this morning and pray for all of those who struggle with the things that are put before us on these pages of Scripture, that we ultimately would all be satisfied in your magnificent love, and that it would drive us forward to be a people who lead out the kind of righteous life that pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. A very heartfelt look at Genesis chapters 29 and 30. Very thought-provoking and soul-searching, to say the least, right? Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment to give us a look forward to tomorrow's program as we continue our survey of Genesis. If you have a praise report, we would love to hear from you. They always mean a great deal to us. It lets us know that the program is, in fact, having a positive effect on your life as you seek to live it out to the glory of God in the grace of Christ. Here's how you reach out to us. As always, our web address, agradio.org. Other formats are available. The jumping off points there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. If you're writing to us, the address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And then, if you have a question or a praise report, we would encourage you to pull out your smartphone, access the Voice Memo app, leave your name and where you're calling from, your praise report or your question, and then email that audio to us at questions@agradio.org. And we'll do our best to have Chris answer any question you have, or we'll at least be encouraged by your praise reports. That always means a great deal to us. But again, get out that Voice Memo app. Send us a question or a praise report to questions@agradio.org. Well, as we close out our program now, let's return to Pastor Chris once again to take a look at tomorrow's broadcast. Very thought-provoking. We trust you'll join us.
One of the worst things that I've seen is that when people are looking for an answer in the midst of the downward spiral and they never come to the right answer, and things actually go from worse to worse. You might stand back from this and, you know, if you've ever been crossed by somebody like this or taken advantage of somebody like this, you think, well, they're just getting what they deserve, and maybe we're a bit satisfied with that. Here's what moves me this morning. The Lord's not satisfied with that. He's not happy about any of this. This is not a game to him. Our lives are not a game to him.
Boy, and aren't you glad for that? We'll explore that truth tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.